on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Out of break one this morning. Pick six previews. He's perusing the ACC right now. I believe Louisville is one of his recent studies. Lots we could get into there, though. Brett, in about 15 minutes. Top of hour two, Blake Ruffino down in the boot. We'll get down to Louisiana and talk to Blake. Top of hour two. 615-844-5600. That is the CTO line, the call text option line. I do stress the text portion of all of that. 615-844-5600 on Twitter at Bill is King, and you can email the show, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Kentucky has done what I thought they would do. Their athletic director, Mitch Barnhart, tweeted on Tuesday that he has decided that Coach Cal is back. I figured that to be the case. And they'll give him a year. Now, what that will solve, I don't know. This is an interesting topic because it's not like you've got a coach who's done nothing. It's not like you've got a coach who can't be successful. You've got a coach who's had teams in national championship games at two different schools. Did it at Memphis and at Kentucky. At Kentucky, he's got a national championship. He's been to Final Fours. He's done a lot in his career. He is one of the best recruiters in sports. College football, basketball, baseball, marbles, whatever it is. He's one of the best ever at recruiting ball players. Say what you want about the method, but he is. But he's at a place where the expectations are through the atmosphere. And he hasn't done much there in the last few years. And that's what the measurement is. It's not like this is one of our conversations we're having where a guy gets a job, he's at the school, it's 3-4 years down the road, he's done nothing, and he's unhired. Different conversation. This guy's won a natty. He's been in other national championship games. He's done a lot as a basketball coach. But at Kentucky, the resume is getting distant. That's the problem here. It's Kentucky. The resume has to be updated. And he hasn't done that recently. His business model of bringing in the best recruiting class every year and just beating people with talent hasn't been working. It was working. It was a very successful business attack model. It's not working anymore. Is that just the random roulette wheel of luck, or is that the business model is failing because of the transfer portal and you're getting beat by grown men? That's probably the debate that they're waging, trying to figure out the future. But nonetheless, they have announced that Coach Cal is back. I didn't figure they'd run him this year. I don't know, and I don't feel like it's because there's a $33 million buyout. If they really wanted to, they could handle that. Kentucky has drip. Kentucky has cash flow. Lots of it. Got to remember, that would not be a lump sum payment, I don't believe, unless the contract reads otherwise. This would be probably a yearly type payout, and that would be easily manageable by Kentucky. That would not be a problem. But they're going to give him another year. I don't know what that will solve. How far does he have to get into the tournament? All of the above. There's a lot of pressure. You think there's pressure at your school? Whichever school you pull for, there's not more pressure than there's on John Calipari next year. And I don't know what the definition needs to be, but he can't be one and done. He's got to be in the tournament. And they need to advance and look like they're a meaningful threat. Don't need to get knocked out and upset. That's what we do know. But, yes, they have announced that he is back, and we will see how that goes. Brett Ciancia coming up here in a few minutes, Pick 6 previews. This is the time of year where he is doing his studies for his book release, his magazine release, where he covers, well, it was the P5. Of course, we told you years ago it wasn't a P5, but he covers the P5. That's the magazine, but there is no more P5. The Pac whatever imploded, as we all know. They've got two teams left, Oregon State and Washington State. Don't know what's going to happen out there, but we did get the news we talked about earlier in the week that the league in its current form, before everybody leaves, before Southern Cal, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington go to the B1G, before Stanford and Cal go to the ACC, before Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado, etc., all go to the Big 12, they did come to an agreement about the money and how it's divvied out the rest of this year, and then what's going to be left over for Oregon State and Washington State at the moment to solely control. And each team we talked about, each school, I should say, is going to leave back $6.5 million. That's 10 teams leaving. $6.5 million each, which leaves $65 million. There's some other assets. They're saying there's about $100 million bucks there in either liquidity or resources or assets that Washington State and Oregon State will control. Now it's that's it. There is no more TV contract. And that's not every year. That's just what's left. So probably a year plus, and then they've got to find out here relatively soon what their league relationship's going to be like. Are they going to merge with the Mountain West? What's going to happen out there? Because, again, that $100 million bucks is good, but it's finite. That's it. That will seep. That will spend in a year or two, I would think. That's not going to last for long without any drip coming in. And right now there is no drip coming in after this spring sports season is over. That's it. That is bye-bye. That's going to be interesting. But Brett Ciancia studying and note-taking, having probably to pause some because we're about to hit the April portal, which is a 15-day window, and whether it's accurate or not, there are some predictions. This could be wild. This could be a bucking bronco, a relentless bucking bronco coming up. I don't know if I buy that, but it's being espoused that way. I don't know if that's the media, the services, wanting to rile everything up to get everybody's attention. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a sincere prediction, but whatever's coming up, Brett's got to be careful because you don't know what rosters might change in some form or fashion. You just don't. So you have to be careful. Yeah, you have to be careful. Jim and Jupiter, Bill, what about the Noles, Seminoles, bouncing back after the debacle series against Clemson and taking the series against the Gators? I didn't have that on. I had on, what was I watching? I had on, here locally, I had on the Tennessee Tech Tony Vols game is, and I didn't have multiple TVs going. Since I have decided, and we did pull the plug, to go with YouTube TV, one of my monitors is not a smart TV. It's a Toshiba. It's a nice TV, but it's not. So I had to go on Amazon and buy a Roku adapter for it. But I had on a couple of TVs, but I forgot about that. I love watching Florida baseball. I do. I love watching Florida. I love watching Florida State now. Florida State's a well-coached baseball team again. And I love watching Clemson baseball. I like watching Wake Forest, Virginia, Miami when they're right. Miami's not right. As a baseball team, as a baseball program right now, they are not right. But I like watching them. There's some fun baseball. Lots of it out in front of us. Tom and Myrtle Beach said, not a great Tuesday night in sports for me. Coastal versus Clemson got canceled due to weather. And the Ohio State men's basketball team lost in the NIT, still proud of Coach Diebler taking over this team midseason, beating number 3 Purdue and TTUN at the end of the regular season. Men's basketball, Bill, is in good hands. I didn't realize that either. So Coastal and Clemson got, due to inclement weather, got canceled. Yeah, I did not note that last night. When we continue after the break, Brett Ciancia, Pick 6 previews with us. Top of hour 2, Blake Ruffino will check in. Other than those two fantastic guests, we are clear. 615-844-5600. That is the CTO line. That is the call text option line. Text it. If you don't want to be part of social media, and there's quite a few people don't, and you don't like your voice on the radio, you don't want to call in, you're not comfortable doing that, text line is for you. 615-844-5600. Looking forward to it. Yeah, looking forward to hearing from you folks. I love the variety. I absolutely love the opinionated opinions out there. I want you to be opinionated. I'm not looking for plurality. I'm looking for your opinion. That's it. Whichever angle you take on whatever it might be, that's the parameters that I have set here for the show. We will begin, I believe, in the ACC with Brett Ciancia when he comes on with us, and we will talk about Louisville. Matter of fact, I was on in Arkansas yesterday. And Matt Jones, former Arkansas quarterback, former first-round draft pick by Jacksonville. Remember, they drafted him despite playing quarterback. They drafted him as a receiver in the first round. Anyways, he's co-host of a show, and I do it every week in Arkansas. And he asked me about Louisville. Could Louisville be a surprise team in the playoffs? That's what he wanted to know. Anyways, we about to take the break here, Patton? Yeah, I'm not hearing anything. Patton, are we about to take a break here? All right.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get it.
Okay. All right. I think we've got some mechanical issues here, but here shortly we will get the break, and then we will head up to lovely Pennsylvania, where Brett Cianci is located. Pick Six Previews does a wonderful job. Brett does this solely. He does not have staffing. He doesn't have a collaboration. It's a one-man show. It's a lot of work. No telling the hours it takes for him. All right. Break time. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel Friday.
Good morning. They're reporting a possible pedestrian struck in East Nashville. They're at Main Street at Finn Street. It's still running slow for folks coming out of Clarksville due to an accident from earlier on 24 eastbound around the 12-mile marker as you leave Montgomery County headed towards Nashville. That's running pretty slow out there in the Clarksville area. 24 is loading up again westbound. 24 here at 840 trying to get out of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County towards Nashville. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken now has new items on the menu like grilled chicken tenders, Mediterranean salads. Check them out online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Childress Collision Center is proudly saluting all of our first responders for their service. This message is brought to you by family-owned and operated Childress Collision Center. From a scratch or a dent to a full collision repair and expert paint matching, trust Childress Collision Center. Stop on by 1108 8th Avenue South in Nashville or call 615-266-4441. That's Childress Collision Center. They're people who care.
It's a Bill King Show.
Like I've mentioned, I thought Nick had a good 5 years still left in it. This one comes as a complete shock to me. If I sat here and said, I had a feeling, guys, Nick was trending, I'd be lying. That'd be the host trying to act like he knew something he didn't know. Why would I present that to you? I am shocked. I was taken aback by it.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
On Wednesdays, studied up Louisville, and actually, and ironically, Brad, I was on a show yesterday in Arkansas. One of the questions for me was, is Louisville a potential top 12 team, meaning a playoff team next year? Are they in that category?
Yeah, well, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on. And they're definitely pushing for that. And I think they can make an argument that they're in the discussion. They're in the team picture there. Yeah, I mean, look at last year. It was the bring back Brom movement. They brought Jeff Brom back home, a Louisville native, former quarterback there, former star. They wanted him for a while, for years. And they finally got him here in 2023. Brought his, you know, his defensive coordinators and his staff from Purdue. And it all clicked. They grinded out 5 one-score wins. They really did enough to get by and took care of a manageable schedule. But the team did it looking a lot different than the Purdue teams. Think of Brom. It was air raid. It was really pass-heavy, vertical passing at Purdue. He really played to his strengths here with a big O-line, a run game, a great running back duo, and a strong defense. So that laid the groundwork for the first division title, or I should say the first ACC conference championship game appearance for Louisville. And they bring a lot back, especially defensively. So if you want to make the argument for 2024 with Louisville, it's going to be one of the best defenses in the conference, maybe in the nation. And then they're reloading through the transfer portal with a top 5 transfer class to try and fix that offense a little bit more.
I don't know if the fans out there are aware of this. Louisville's got money, and you just talked about the transfer portal. They are competitive, bare minimum, out there chasing transfers, for sure.
Yeah, this is a passionate fan base. I think it does get overlooked, like you mentioned, almost like a sleeping giant of sorts. I think that there's a lot of potential here in the new NIL era, the new 12-team playoff era for a team like Louisville, and in the divisionless era, because remember, the last 10 years, they were stuck in a division in the ACC with Dynasty Clemson and with Florida State, who won a national title during that time frame. And then even some tough outs like a Wake Forest or a BC here and there. But so now you go divisionless, you go random schedule. There's a lot of different avenues to Charlotte for the ACC title game, like you saw last year. And, yeah, the fan base is there to support them. I saw they had a stadium record 60,000 fans against Notre Dame there. They created a great atmosphere in the win over Notre Dame, storming the field. So there's a lot of momentum to like here. They know they have their head coach. They know they have return loyalty from him being an alma mater guy and a Louisville native. So they're going to fund it. And you saw that in the transfer portal. Like I said, number 5 transfer class in the country, the most commits of anybody so far, 26 transfers coming in. A lot of them blue chippers too. Patching up the defense for some, especially the secondary, the safety and cornerback room. But offensively, attacking the quarterback spot, receivers, and tight end room, especially 3 big tight ends coming in. They want to utilize that more. But I agree with you. This is a strong fan base, a lot of potential here.
Jim in Jupiter says, Bill, ask Brett how he rates teams like Florida State that get a bunch of dudes in the portal, but those guys haven't played a lot of football.
Yeah, well, I would say this, that you got to go case by case, position by position, and even program by program, because not all coaches use their transfer talent the same. I'm glad he picked Florida State for his question, because that's one of the best examples out there where, Mike Norvell in Florida State, they might not get the headlines of a Colorado or a USC 2 years ago or Michigan State 3 years ago in terms of biggest transfer class coming in. But when he picks a guy, he really hits, because a lot of the stars on last year's undefeated team and the 2022 team, they were former transfers, and he brought them in for a reason. They fit the schemes, they fit the culture. He developed them well, and a lot of them landed on all-conference teams. So he's one of the best in the game at doing it, and so I think the Florida State will continue that. It's a strength for them. It might be a weakness in other programs, but it's a strength of Florida State.
Kevin in Dublin, I think, has got a trick question for you. He wants to know who you have as number one and number two in the Pac-12 coming up this year.
Oh, man. Well, there's only two choices, so, man, a 50-50 shot, right? Yeah, well, I haven't looked at those two yet, but I can guess in either order you're thinking Oregon State or Washington State. But, no, but it is really a shame that is a topic, and I really feel bad for those two fan bases. You know, a little bit smaller on the map than some of the big giants in the old Pac-12, but they deserve to be Power 5 credentialed and to be included in this mix of teams. So really a shame.
Also, we were talking yesterday. I don't know if I remember a situation like the Big 12, the two Arizona schools coming in, Colorado, Utah, etc., where you could name a number of teams as a potential league champion.
Yeah, this might be the most wide open that I can remember. Haven't dug into the Big 12 too much yet, but just going off of 2023 results, and some of the roster changes, you could make an argument for, what, six, seven teams, half the league? Utah coming in with a couple of recent conference title championships for the Pac-12 with a very veteran and very established coaching staff. Arizona, I was making the case for earlier in the offseason before Jed Fish left, but still leaves behind a great roster and some momentum there. Yeah, Kansas State, TCU, these are solid Big 12 programs. Texas Tech was getting a lot of hype last year. Are they ready for a breakthrough? Arizona State, I know that they had a rough year last year and they had some off-the-field things, but their defense is playing strong, and I believe in Kenny Dillingham to fix that program. Yeah, so, and I like this too. There are a lot of negatives to the conference realignment and the expansion, but there is a positive that I found in the Big 12. It is returning to a little bit of that regionality, bringing in the Mountain Schools, the Arizona Schools, and those fan bases are passionate. I know I just got done saying it about Louisville, and you'll think I'm saying it about everybody, but the Big 12 fans, they pack their stadium, and they don't get appreciated enough. It might not be reflected in TV numbers, but I don't care about TV numbers. I care about packed arenas and stadiums and passionate fan bases on Twitter supporting the players and talking about their teams, and the Big 12 has a lot of that, so I respect that conference.
Mike the Mad Dog Noonan, Georgia, asked Brent, does he think Louisville could be successful in the SEC?
Ooh, well, that's a whole step up in competition. I mean, you saw once they left their ACC footprint in the bowl game against USC, they got torn apart, and that was against USC's backups. I think 10 starters were out for USC, first-time freshman starter, Moss quarterback, and they shredded that Louisville defense that I just got done hyping up, so... I don't know. I think that it'd be tough skating for Louisville in the SEC. Not many easy outs there like they found in the ACC this year. So, yeah, I don't know. That kind of proves the point about conference strength, where I'm talking ACC for Louisville in the ACC for a conference title maybe. You put them in the SEC, they're probably 500 or worse. So, yeah, that's a tough ask, and that just shows the scale of the different teams here.
And we talk football, but Louisville basketball, I grew up, they're always in the Final Four. They are epic levels of bad right now. Not that that matters on this show, but Kentucky wouldn't be the only vote, but there's Louisville's not going to be in the SEC. I don't know that that's what Mike and the Mad Dog was saying. I think he was just throwing that out there hypothetically. Did you see the news, though, Brett, where at least for now, Oregon State and Washington State, they've got their agreement with that league as everybody's departing but them, and there's going to be about $100 million in assets left over for them in the beginning.
Yeah, they're getting their remains. Nice little windfall there in the short term. We'll see if they can use that strategically and try and get a long-term solution. I don't know what that might be, whether it's the Big 12 we just talked about, some kind of partial agreement with the Mountain West. I think they did get a schedule agreement with the Mountain West for a couple years here, but yeah. I know that their eyes are on the Power 5 prize, or now Power 4, whatever we should call it. So, yeah, I hope they can move up. I really want them to be into what we call Power 4 going forward. They deserve it. They have the history, the fan base. And even on the field, they were really scaling up. Oregon State was really trending that way into a successful program. Jonathan Smith had them playing well. So, yeah, those fans all deserve better, but looks like a little short-term lottery ticket they hit there.
Noel Kev up in Chicago asked Brett, has he looked into Cal and Stanford since they're going to be in the ACC?
Yeah, I did, and it was that's what I actually started with this offseason, and it felt weird to do that, looking as far west as you can go and go as far east as you can go, some 4,000 miles separating the two. And, yeah, so Cal Stanford joining the ACC, Stanford coming off a really rough transition year and really a couple bad years before that. I'm not going to blame it on Coach Taylor there. But, yeah, I think that they have a ways to go still in the second year. Cal is an interesting spot because with Justin Wilcox, they're always playing competent defense. That started to slip a little bit too in the defensive trenches. They got to pair that up, got to patch that up, I should say. And, so yeah, I think Cal is more of a competitive threat in the ACC, maybe middle of the pack, while I have Stanford looking towards the bottom. I think there's still a lot to work there, and they're in a tough spot in this NIL transfer era because it's tough to transfer into an academic place like Stanford. They just won't bring people in, academics-wise. So they're behind the eight ball in that regard, and it's going to hurt them.
Georgia Dog says, Bill, and Georgia Dog's down on the Emerald Coast, ask Brett, how big would it be for Clemson to beat Georgia while shopping for a new conference? Clemson's going to be playing this game like it's their Super Bowl.
That would be massive because I think, you know, on the field and off the field, I think on the field, more importantly, is people are starting to think that the Clemson dynasty is slipping. I think it is. They've fallen behind in the transfer portal game because, you know, Dabo is old-fashioned there. And while I respect it, it's just if you want to compete at the highest level, you got to get with the times a little bit. And they've fallen behind. Florida State has surpassed them in the conference. So for them to go out and beat the, you know, 2021 and 22 champs, and you could argue that Georgia was still the best team last year. So really the dynasty in college football right now is still Georgia. For Clemson to go out and win that game would be massive for them in recruiting, in the nation perspective. And then, yeah, off the field, I don't know if a single game can change conference realignment because we've seen some bad programs get promoted and some good programs demoted. So I don't know how that works off the field, but would certainly be big for their national image and perception and recruiting and all that comes with that. So, yeah, that'd be tremendous for them.
Tell everybody, Brett, how they can get their hands on your football information. And, of course, the portal coming up here soon, so he's probably going to be pausing a little bit waiting for that to clear up.
Yeah, pick6previews.com, at pick6previews. Thanks, Bill.
See you, man. There you have it. Brett Ciancia, fantastic. We'll take the break, top of the hour, Blake Ruffino.
Good morning. I'm trying to mop up this earlier crash. It happened, had some injuries in East Nashville, Main Street at Finn Street. That's still blocked with the fire department. Traffic's loading up pretty good as we check it out live on 24 westbound, passing 840, coming in right now from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, up through Laverne and Smyrna. It's still a mess trying to get out of Clarksville this morning on a pretty bad wreck on 24 eastbound around the 12-mile marker, leaving Montgomery County as a challenge headed towards Nashville. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on the menu like grilled chicken tenders. Check out that menu today, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish, Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And now Comstock & Sons Construction is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. Please visit DAV.org and consider donating to the disabled U.S. veterans who need our help. This message is brought to you by Comstock & Sons Construction. For all your residential remodeling needs, give the pros a call today and ask about their military and senior discounts. 931-703-5623. 931-703-5623. That's Comstock & Sons Construction. They're professionals who care.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
You have your franchise quarterback going into his second year who could use all the help he can get, whether it's system and maybe a veteran guy who's been there, done it, in that room that can help bring him along. I think it's time for the Titans to bring in another Neil O'Donnell, Kerry Collins, Matt Hasselbeck type.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
That promo, and I don't know if this has been in the paper or not, and I don't know if you've heard this. You might, since you're connected with the Titans, and I'm not. Kerry Collins is going to be the quarterback coach up here at Spring Hill at Summit High School. Is that known?
I had not heard that, but I have no reason not to.
My son the other day said, Dad, and he's 18, so he doesn't have a long history of the Titans, but he said, yeah, some guy that played quarterback, Kerry Collins, is the quarterback coach now up here, just out of nowhere. And I know, Patton, I know that they've had a house here. Matter of fact, when I sold my farm, Kerry's wife came up and looked at it and inquired about it. About 10 years ago. But I had no idea. I didn't know he was trying to get into coaching or what have you. But up here at the, lots of high schools up here, but at Summit High School, according to my son, they hired some guy named Kerry Collins. Now, hired, I don't think that pays hardly any money. But
that and the Hasselbeck brothers are at Lipscomb Academy.
Are they at Lipscomb or are they, did they get hired there or was it Innsworth? Is it Lipscomb?
It is Innsworth. You're right, Bill.
Are two of them there, both brothers there?
Yeah, one's the head coach and one's the offensive coordinator.
Wow. Did they drop all their ESPN stuff?
One of them still does it. He's got a Innsworth helmet in the background for all his interviews now. So just free pub.
What is it about the 615 or these former players who want to coach high schools? Seriously, it's crazy. Jared Curtis from over at Nashville Christian over the weekend committed to Georgia, one of the top-ranked quarterbacks in the class of 26. We've already talked about that this week, but I was talking to somebody. I tell you what, I was at a bank yesterday, and the lady, I wasn't even thinking about anything. I was just in there, and this lady says, one of the tellers or ladies at the desk said, I bet your week's been wild. And I remember, Again, I guess I was just kind of in la-la land. I said, what do you mean? She goes, oh, with the tournament and everything. Basketball tournament. Oh, I said, oh, yeah. Well, I said, it's fun. And my bracket imploded immediately. That's funny, too. But my show is mainly about the oblong spheroid. And she said, oh, I know, but it's fun this time of year. Everybody's got a bracket, and they fill it out, and everybody gets to make fun of who's doing well and who's not doing well and all that. Anyways, we got to talking about high school name, image, likeness. This lady, I don't know this lady. And she did not know that high schools or states have cleared, not every state, have cleared high schoolers to make money off of, quote, name, image, likeness. And Tennessee is one of those. And we talked about it. Jared Curtis has signed a deal with a, I think it's Leaf Cards or Collectibles or something, where they're paying him, and you can also go and order a Jared Curtis picture on a card or something laminated, and it's $79.99. You Georgia Bulldog fans. Now, again, they're not an advertiser on the show, but you could go technically and invest in the calls if you wanted to. It's on the up and up. I don't even know what the link would be. I think it's Leaf, L-E-A-F, not Ryan Leaf. But he's got a NIL deal, and he's a sophomore in high school right now. 6'4", they list him at about 220, 225. He's already built like a pro quarterback. And he is committed to the Georgia Bulldogs. That happened over the weekend. 2 years ago, when the radio station WNSR did, I think it was the first game of the season, and I had not ever heard of Jared Curtis, Adam from the station said, Bill, we just did a game with Nashville Christian, and there's this freshman quarterback is just phenomenal. And I didn't really think much about it. I just thought some local kid looked good out there. No, he's he's legit. He's for real. And, yeah, cast his lot with the Georgia Bulldogs. I think he probably made a good decision there. What does he get with his Georgia commitment? A chance to play for a national championship, right? I think, can any program in America promise that more than Georgia right now? More than Georgia. If you're Ohio State, you can promise, hey, we'll compete. We'll compete for a national championship. I still put Alabama in that category, too. We'll see what happens with this team this year. But I still think they've earned the right to be in that category. As a brand, they've earned the right, even with this transition period. But he gets a chance to compete for national championship. He gets a chance to be the quarterback for a team that's going to compete for national championship and perhaps win it. And he gets developed with a shot to play on Sundays. Now think about this. We were just talking about name, image, likeness, and we'll see who the quarterback is someday when he's there. But also with name, image, likeness, which is a big lie, the words, a chance to make some really good money, like the current quarterback there, Carson Beck, who has earned the right to buy a bunch of fancy cars, which, again, his right. He's earned that right. And that's also attractive. Whether we look at it like that or not, that's also very attractive. It is. All right, we got to get a break here. Blake Ruffino in about 15 minutes. From down in the boot, we'll head down to Louisiana. Blake Ruffino, Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Still heavy traffic right now on 24 westbound, leaving Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, up through the Antioch area, headed towards Nashville. Out in Clarksville, it's still struggling on the interstate from an earlier crash. 24 eastbound around the 12-mile marker. That's got traffic pretty slow in that section of Montgomery County on 24 east, headed towards Nashville. Already some heavy traffic volume through Hendersonville westbound on Vietnam Vets, headed towards Conference Drive. 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. It's Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
BuyAndTow.com. Get cash for junk cars. You have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit BuyAndTow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, BuyAndTow.com. That's BuyAndTow.com.
Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is at the heart of Music City. Located within walking distance of the Country Music Hall of Fame, Bar Lines at the Omni is your downtown honky-tonk destination. Watch your team from any seat on their plentiful HD TVs and catch a live show on the Bar Lines stage featuring live music 7 days a week. Bar Lines has the ultimate Southern comfort food. Get started with classic fried green tomatoes or bourbon barbecue wings. Then it's on to the massive Smashville Double Stack or the world famous Bar Lines Grinder. Oh, you've never heard of the Bar Lines Grinder? Two kinds of cheese, lettuce, Dijon, smoked turkey, smoked bacon, smoked ham. Now that's some smoke you want. Local brews and local spirits are on tap at Bar Lines. Take a seat on the patio outside and soak up the rhythm of Music City. Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hi, I'm Jeff Fisher. Guess what? The Cats are back. The Nashville Cats will be returning to the Municipal Auditorium on April 27th in the season opener against the Minnesota Myth. There will be five total games played at Municipal Auditorium, with one additional game played up in Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena on Armed Forces Day on Saturday, May 18th. For player or dance team tryouts or tickets, log on to thenashvillecats.com.
JB and the General.
I am in no means a chiseled goddess. God, I don't have a six pack. I'm not looking like The Rock out here. But goodness gracious, George Niang legitimately has a beer belly out on the floor right now.
Yeah, but so does Jokic. He's the best player in the world.
Well, George Niang is clanking them off the backboard.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
If it's the P5, the G5, or a neutral site game in Council Bluffs, the Bill King Show has it covered.
If you're the rest of the SEC, are you applauding that now? You like that? Sam Dog down in Middle Georgia. Bill, he says, I'm having a good basketball week. My attempt to sabotage Auburn by jinxing them and putting them as national champions in my bracket worked. Plus, my Dogs win a game at Ohio State to advance in the NIT last night. Yeah, Sam Dog is a Georgia fan, and he has natural enemies, being a Georgia fan. Florida would be one. Georgia Tech would be one. But his, from what I can tell now, his number one enemy as a Georgia fan is Auburn. That'd be an interesting poll. If we were able to take 100,000 Georgia dog fans and list those schools I just listed. Let's say we listed Florida, Georgia Tech, Auburn, Tennessee. And had 100,000 Georgia fans vote. Who would be their number one enemy? Which of those listed four teams would get the most votes, the most percentage, the highest percentage? I would think Florida, but Georgia-Auburn is the oldest rivalry. Might be Auburn. I don't think it would be Tech. I don't think they obsess over Tech. Georgia and Georgia Tech is kind of like Tennessee and Vanderbilt, except they're not in the same league. Yeah, a little different. They're not intertwined in some conference together, but the relationship is something like that, I'm surmising here. Blake Ruffino, bunch we can talk about with him. Obviously, we're always talking college football with him, but, the baseball team just played a series against the Gators. Florida won 2 of 3. LSU's a team that's, I would say, baseball-wise, a team in progress right now. Tennessee got some news. Tony Vols, that their star third baseman, Billy Amick, transfer from Clemson, has an issue with his appendix. Now, I don't know if there was anything specific said or not about that. Maybe there was. I did not check the postgame or anything. But he's going to be out for an undisclosed period of time. Kevin in Muletown was saying he thought maybe it would be off this weekend. Georgia comes to town. Georgia goes to Rocky Top. Charlie Condon and company head to Rocky Top. And maybe he'd be back a week after that. Don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But that's a pro hitter right there. Not in your lineup. Sam Dog said it would depend on the age of the demographics and all that on a vote about the biggest enemy Georgia has. That's probably a good point. Yeah, that's probably a well-taken point there. I hadn't thought about that. Tom in Myrtle Beach. He said, I think probably with teams like Georgia is they don't have one true rival because the opposing team doesn't consider them their number one rival. For example, Auburn's number one rival is Bama. Florida's number one rival is Florida State. That is why these games are the season final, Bill, rivalry week. That's a good point. Yeah, Georgia has a lot. I tell you who's got a lot of enemies is Tennessee. Tennessee's got a ton of enemies. Tennessee may have more enemies than almost anybody. They've got Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt despises Tennessee. Kentucky despises Tennessee. Alabama and Tennessee. Tennessee and Florida. Tennessee and Georgia. They got a lot of natural enemies. Sanford 222, who's a Georgia fan, said, Bill, Florida is who we want to beat the most. Said Auburn was actually friendly until 2010 when Nick Fairley was launching cheap shots. Then it changed. Blake Ruffino when we come back.